entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. The following episode is brought to you by Rorschach. Enjoy his videos, observations, and rants at HearUsTalk.com/WhoIsHe. Hi, my name is Ken, and this isn't your typical podcast. It was recorded live, remains unedited, and is available to anyone who can endure a foul-mouthed Australian kid, Rammstein, and a detailed argument against most of the people I encounter from day-to-day life. If that's you, enjoy the next 2 hours. And eat shit.
This is Justin from Australia. When I'm out wrestling crocodiles and punching the fuck out of kangaroos, I'm listening to the DJ New Style Show.
Boo, 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 take a look at you. Hanging out 30 Daisy. Whoa, 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 policeman, I'm free. Smoking crack, cocaine, make you crazy. You think everything perfect in your world today. You think everything's just out of reach. Take off the glass pipe, take off the sunglasses. Tell me what you can see. And I say, she's not okay. You got lies, you got rats in the street. You got no shoes, no shoes on the baby's feet. Whoa, 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 it's a perfect world. Yeah, yeah, na na na, it's a perfect world.
Yeah.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey. Safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark. We proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
Are you guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
No. No.
Yeah.
Hey, Donna! Have you tried the coffee yet?
Oh, snap! Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right, this is the DJ New Style Show. The only podcast that smells like the underside of a ball sack with tartar sauce and butterscotch candies. And opened with who? You guessed it. Rammstein! Yes. I can't open this fucking thing. I can't open the fucking thing. I demand a beverage. There we go. I got it. Thank you for tuning into the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com. The thing you do with your ears and the place to be. And you know what? I'm glad to be here doing the show. I'm enjoying myself, and I'm about to take the first sip of a Miller Lite bottle can fucking thing. I don't know. I've been enjoying these things recently. And I'm celebrating the wonderful victory of Mel Gibson as king of verbal arguments. A lot of you think it's racist. A lot of you think that he's an asshole, he has a problem. The man makes sense, and I understand where he's coming from. Not necessarily a place of hating black people, but just from a place of hating the fact that this bitch is not saying shit to help him not be mad. He is furious, and he is pissed, and everything she says is crafted in such a way to make him madder and more fucking frothy and insane. And that's, I think he feeds off of that. I think he truly enjoys it. And I enjoy listening to it. And I won't be playing the clips because obviously you've heard them. You've been alive. You're hearing this. There's a chance that you've heard the fucking Mel Gibson thing. Where do we rate as far as hearability? As far as exposure compared to Mel Gibson berating his Russian fake-titted gotta blow him because he deserves it fucking girlfriend? Far lower. So I know you've heard it. There's no need for me to play it. And in fact, podcasts that play audio and try to report news, just fucking, come on. Find something else to do. Get out of that bedroom. Let it be used for its intended purpose. And do something else. Talk about your plight, your frustrations. Vent. Improve your life through the few people that want to hear you do your thing. It's just reflecting and getting the absolute annoyances out of your fucking day. Reviewing the week. On the weekend, I've decided that I need to ramp up my efforts to get the house into a state of not even being finished, but a state that I'm happy to live in. So what we have done is we've started installing the appliances that we had bought. Now, if you want to call the show, as someone else is doing now, the number to call is 316-768-4472. If you're listening to this downloaded, you are a cocksucker, but thank you. I appreciate it. You should be listening live and calling in, like Foundry Music Jeff. How you doing, Jeff? What's going on, buddy?
How's it going, Ken?
What's up?
You know, I got a real big problem with this Mel Gibson fallout.
You have a problem
with
it?
Number one, yeah, I understand it from a like a scintillating celebrity news perspective. But, you know, in terms of, like, things men say to their wives or wives say to their husbands, this is pretty run-of-the-mill shit. I mean, we say things in anger. They're usually racist or sexist. And the fact that Mel Gibson said it, I personally believe, shouldn't make it any more important than any conversation that a man has with his wife when they're both at the end of their marriage. You know what I mean?
And you would know firsthand.
I would, and I've had similar arguments, and I've said similar things.
For someone who's been at the end of his marriage several times, you would be an authority on this. But, Jeff, my thing is, and I do kind of agree with you, which I've been told is dangerous by the two fine folks behind Hate Us Talk. That's hateustalk.tumblr.com. It's dangerous for me to agree with you, but in this case, I do. Where's her tape? Where's the tape of the shit she says to him? The constant cutting, the pushing.
Yeah, that's my thing. We're living in an age of high available media, easily to distribute media. Having a tape like this is pretty commonplace if you're that type of person who has the foreknowledge or the planning to have a recording device in place so that she can use it later. You know, obviously they'd had these fights before, and it occurred to her somewhere during the time that wouldn't it be great, you know, to use an ammo later if I got a tape recorder and tape one of his rants.
I mean, I just...
You know what I mean?
I think the big pleasant surprise I got out of this whole thing is that we now know that Mel Gibson had to tone down his personality to play Riggs and fucking Mad Max. Like, he had to calm down to become those characters.
But that's the thing. We all have to calm down to conform to societal norms. You know? I mean, in our private lives, with our close personal friends or wives or girlfriends, we say things that would never be appropriate in public.
No, never.
And that is why those things are said, because you have that comfort level where you can say those awful things with the hope that it won't be recorded and distributed on the internet to be used as ammo later in your divorce proceedings.
And not only that, a lot of the things that are said are very often apologized for later on. Sure, you say it in the heat of the moment, but a recording with an end doesn't portray that. And yes, I understand he did cause her to maybe lose a few teeth while she was trying to keep their baby away from him.
I mean,
but that's beside the point.
I'll draw the line at any kind of physical violence that's indefensible.
Sure.
However, and I will say that probably a lot of these rants were fueled by alcohol or drugs or whatever the hell he's on. But, you know, I've been reading a lot about this particular story because I'm always interested when something becomes kind of like a media fiasco of epic proportions, and everyone's reporting on it, and all the entertainment TV shows are this is their headline story. And, you know, what I find really insulting about, I mean, insulting to actual victims, is the activist groups who decided to glom onto this story to further their own cause. Women against rape, women against spousal abuse, and that sort of thing. You know, I don't think for a second that Mel Gibson actually wanted his wife to be gang raped, you know, by a group of, shall we say, colored gentlemen.
Well, the thing about it is he didn't say that he wanted her to. He warned that it's a possibility, which, let's face it, it is. I mean,
well,
it always is. You could be wearing...
I wish you were. I wish a band of enemies ran a train on you.
Yeah.
However which way you say it, that was his sentiment. You know? And then all these women who...
No, that wasn't... That was not... Jeff, I'm sorry. That's not his sentiment. He said, I don't want you to dress this way. You're liable to get raped by the unsavory blacks. That's what he was saying. He isn't wishing that upon her. He's wishing her away from him. He's wishing her away from him, saying that because you're acting like this, this could happen. That little segment of it, if that was all the tape was, it would be like, get the fuck off the guy's back.
My father said the same thing, you know, to my sister with the innuendo that, you know, if something like that would happen, he would say, like, I told you so. You know what I mean?
Well, he would revel in the fact that he had warned her of this.
Like, you know, if you dress like that, you're going to get raped, and then, like, you know, you just see, told you.
Yeah.
You know, with a big smile on his face, which I imagine what Mel Gibson would do. But, you know, I just think it's an insult to women who have actually been raped, people who have actually... serious abuse, people who, you know, generally are true victims of these type of crimes, for them to attach themselves to Mel Gibson, it's absurd. It's like a feeding frenzy. You know, I mean, here's a guy who just made movies, some of them good, some of them bad, makes a lot of money, granted. I guess for some reason, making a lot of money all of a sudden makes you more important and sort of the poster boy for these type of things, when everyone does it. Everyone says these types of things.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Apparently there's a third tape cycling around, making the rounds now. I didn't know that they came out in Chronicles. I just kind of heard the tapes here and there, popular websites.
It's like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly don't really care all that much. I just thought it was kind of cool to hear Riggs say all this thing to some fucking trollop that he got set up with. Anyway, Jeff, you know, I appreciate your insight, but I have to say I do miss having a go-to place to hear this point of view, to hear you expound upon these things.
Yeah, I was thinking about what I wanted to do next, and I really, I'm interested in, because I've been seeing a lot of documentaries that interested. The one that just came out on HBO about a woman in Sweden who gave $15 a month, to one of those help out an African child, without even really thinking about it, and using that $15 a month, this guy, who came from a mud hut in Kenya, was able to go to Harvard Law School, and found her, and it was really kind of it was beautiful in a way, and I kind of want to showcase things like that, people doing positive things that have really mammoth results.
You're gonna start a podcast and dedicate it to slices of life, and good humanity shit. What? You're not gonna.
Yeah, I've been really interested in it. Winnebago Man that just came out, a documentary about the guy who did a Winnebago commercial, became a YouTube sensation because he cursed a lot. And, some of them thought, hey, wouldn't it be interesting to find this guy and see what he's all about? What's he doing now? And it's just a sensation now. And there were a lot of other documentaries like that, like a guy who looked up his own name, Googled his name, and found other people around the country and, visited them and, tried to figure out, the old Harvey Pekar, what's in the name, type of thing. And I kind of find that stuff really interesting.
So you got really really worked up over all the negativity that was thrown at you, that now you're going to be something of a missionary of goodwill?
I mean, that's kind of a, patronizing way of putting it.
You have to admit, it is. You've had an act, I don't want to say it's an act, but let's say you had your persona of being a really cutting and sarcastic and quippy individual, and now all of a sudden you come in like a white suit and a cane, and you're pointing at the good things.
I can see where people would respond to me doing that sort of thing in that way. It's not altruistic, it's not self-serving, but there was a point, not too recently, where I realized all the negativity, all the sarcasm, the cynicism, it doesn't really lead anywhere positive or constructive, so why not be the first podcast to kind of go the positive way?
Hold on. First of all, I'm guaranteeing that there are far more podcasts doing a positive thing, so that you would never be able to say you're the first one doing a positive thing. There are fucking there are church podcasts. There are people that fucking donate food and talk about it. There is a podcast for everything a human can possibly do. It's called the. Okay, fine. You want proof? It's called the Fandick Show. There is nothing but charity and goodwill on that show.
No, but in all seriousness, I was thinking about a name like Positive Spin or something like that. And, because I'm really interested also in what's going on in Detroit now and, the creative ways that they're employing to turn that city around. It's really kind of fascinating stuff. And, so I want to get people who are, figureheads in those movements and see what they're doing to help out their fellow men. And maybe some of that will rub off on me. I don't know.
Well, you know what, Jeff? Whatever it is, I would give it a listen. I have to say, if you start running food drives and shit...
Let me ask you this.
In your idea, what do you envision yourself being called? What is your name going to be? What are you going to refer to yourself as?
I didn't think of a handle or anything like that.
Reverend? Is it going to be Reverend something?
No! Why did Jay get a reaction to that?
I'm
kidding, because I anticipated this type of thing because I am such a fucking jerk-off and people resenting me so strongly that, this type of...
Because you know what? It's not going to seem... The thing is, you going the nice route at first isn't going to seem genuine based on a lot of the shit that you've said and joked about. The very people that you're going to be showcasing and highlighting, I guarantee you fucking belittled and insulted.
I will for a second pretend that I am one of them.
Well, I know that's the point.
I know how I'm perceived, and you know, if at any point in time I try to comport myself as being something I'm not, feel free to call in and shit on me. But I really just kind of want to make it about them and make people aware that, like, good things are happening in this world, and we all can either decide to participate in that or just kind of do our own thing, and that's fine, too. But, you watch the news, you never see these type of things, you know? It's usually, if you want to see a feel-good story, it's like, oh, a firefighter rescued a fucking chipmunk out of the tree. And there are big, important things going on right now that are...
I'll tell you what, Jeff, I want to hear the first episode before I make any judgments, before I hear any more pleas. I don't want to hear fucking plans. I don't want to hear shit that I'm going to do. Give us an episode.
There's a show right now, hosted by Jane Lewis called the Do Something Awards on VH1. It's kind of showcasing people that are doing great things. And you know, I kind of like to hitch my ride to something, you know, that's good.
Okay. Well, you know what? I look forward to seeing it. And Jeff, I got to tell you, your phone is a really difficult thing. You know, I really have to pay attention to every word you're saying to hear it, and that's difficult sometimes. I'm just letting you know.
I'll try to get people to touch me on it. I like to appreciate it. I got to
say something here in the Palo Talk Room. Jimmy NY75. Said, isn't part of altruism to do it anonymously and to not showcase the fact that you're doing it by having a show centered around the things that you're doing?
No. See, the thing is, like, I'm not trying to be altruistic. I'm not trying to be good. I just want to showcase the people that are. You know, it's not me doing a positive thing. It's other people.
Okay.
And giving publicity to their movements. I'm not trying to, you know, push an agenda. I'm not trying to, start a green movement or something like that.
Jeff, I love it. I love the concept. Give us an episode. Thank you. I got to say thank you for calling in, buddy.
Yeah, no problem.
And
all right, man.
You're so Shane on Twitter. You're so Shane on Twitter. The Mel Gibson thing has just consumed him, has put him into a froth. And I love how he went from saying that the vile things Mel Gibson said to his girlfriend are just common things that lovers say, and then he slipped into his idea of doing a do-gooder podcast, highlighting the good efforts from people, feeding the poor, clothing the naked. You know what? I have to hear it before I'll judge. I do. I really do. I've been trying to work on the house and really get the Mel Gibson thing out of my brain, because it's fantastic, sure, but what isn't fantastic is trying to install appliances yourself. Now, they wouldn't let you install a gas range. For some reason, they have to do that, I guess because there's fucking gas involved, and if you blow up the house, they look bad. I don't know. It would seem to me that it would be on me. On my insurance, but they insisted on installing that. It was included. Fine. The dishwasher, microwave, refrigerator. That is something I needed to get done. And I did it this weekend with the help of my dad. Again, my dad coming in and lending more than a hand, basically doing the entire fucking job for me. And the big part of it, not the refrigerator, obviously you shove it into the fucking cove, plug it in, not a big deal. Microwave, you mount it up. The range, it's already done. The dishwasher is a big fucking issue. Buying it, not that difficult. Convincing yourself that you could do it on your own, really easy to do. But when you see it, and you see what has to be done in a fucking house put together by people that owned it before you that didn't give a shit that they were living there, it's a fucking chore. We had a dishwasher that came with the house from like 1983. Terrible. It had like some kind of fucking bike kickstand as a lock. It was all kicked in and dented and rusted. And with the old range, the old stove, since it's configured in an L, the range and the fucking dishwasher at a 90 degree, they're perpendicular to each other. So you open the dishwasher, and it came very close to the range. Didn't take this into account, bought a bigger range, a fancier fucking range. Now it sticks out a little more. We have a fucking problem. The dishwasher door doesn't fucking open. The old one. We didn't take it out yet at this point. Open it up, and it actually is poised to hit the fucking range. So we look at everything. What can we move? If we can get a half inch back, shove the range back, we can get everything to fit perfectly to work. We spent 6 hours working on this fucking thing. Got the range back a half inch. Sawed the goddamn cabinet down to get a quarter of an inch so we could slide it over. And it just barely fucking opens. And it doesn't open completely. It rests on the handle of a fucking warming drawer that I have no intention of using. What am I going to fucking do with a warming drawer? Am I going to entertain, put fucking hors d'oeuvres in there just to be hot until my fucking guests arrive? I'm not going to have parties like that. I'm not going to prepare treats for people to walk over, to stop by, neighborhood block parties. It's not going to happen. I'd sooner remove the fucking warming drawer and have the dishwasher work, but 6 fucking hours. And it's all stainless steel. So any fucking bump, any fingerprint, I'm going to be obsessed with all the markings and potential scratches and everything. It's just fucking terrible. Absolutely fucking hideous. And the worst part of it is the continual reminder that I'm given from the previous owners that they're disgusting people. They're horrid. They have no fucking soul. Thank you, Mel Gibson, for embedding that observation of a terrible person in my brain. Taking the old dishwasher out, I realized that these people were fucking filthy. I had already known it because they wallpapered over dog hair. Big clumps of fucking dog hair. Removing it and seeing like fucking teeth and just old shit in the cracks. When I removed the dishwasher, there was a pile of fucking tennis balls, steak bones, garbage bags, coffee filters, fucking dog chews, and mouse shit everywhere, and then this one little packet that said sudden death. And I kind of looked at it. I didn't want to touch any of the shit. I didn't want to fucking touch it. And it was like they just threw it in there. Warning, keep up. This side up. The mice will eat it from this side. When I fucking spoke to these people, I'm like, have you ever had any kind of a pest issue? No, never. Not in 30 years. You lying motherfuckers. Lying motherfuckers. The same assholes that said, we knew you were just starting out, so we left you a lovely bird feeder. Like, oh, I didn't see a bird feeder. That's really, you know, thank you. I actually thanked these fucking people. A little wireframe fucking suet cake cage hung up on a goddamn tree. 25-cent fucking throwaway. A lovely bird feeder. We just left that for you. You can have it. And there's a lovely shelf. And all these fucking people were disgusting. Absolutely disgusting and liars. Mouse shit everywhere behind the goddamn dishwasher. I took a picture of what I found, which was a garbage bag full of the tennis balls and all the other shit. And that's on my Tumblr, which is djnewstyle.tumblr.com. And you might be wondering, how does all this shit get stuck behind a dishwasher? Well, the layout of the cabinets is shaped like an L. And in the corner piece, it's just a big fucking void. And to the left of it, that's where the dishwasher goes. You pull the dishwasher out, there's a big open fucking cove. And normally under cabinets, you have what is called a kick plate or a toe kick. It's a little board put under the cabinets to kind of finish off the look so that shit doesn't get trapped underneath the goddamn cabinet. Well, every other piece of the cabinet had it. It had the toe kick everywhere except for 3 inches in the corner. These motherfuckers would give their dog a tennis ball, it would fucking chew on it or whatever and shed its fucking fur into the spot that they would wallpaper and knock the goddamn tennis ball into the corner to be lost. And rather than fix the fucking thing and put anything there to block it, they give it another fucking tennis ball. 29 times. Absolutely fucking disgusting. Just fucking, it's heartbreaking. And the thing about it, the bones that we would find there, not like conventional dog bones. Sure, there was like a rawhide bone that you would give a dog to chew on. It's like a fuck, like they went out and had a porterhouse, came back with the bone, threw it to the dog. The dog fucked up and had it slid into the goddamn corner. And it just stayed there forever. Oh, I'd like to give a little shout out to Dingus One, who just joined our Hear Us Talk chat room, who is saying, God laughs when troops die in Iraq. And then he has his little squiggly language. That's a very good language that you have. It's just little squiggles. And he says, death to the troops. Congratulations, Dingus One. Your message to the tens of people that are in this room are is really being heard and felt. We all have a pit in our fucking stomach because you came in here. And Ustreamer 17141, I understand that it's Arabic. I just prefer to call it a squiggly language. Because I don't want to dignify a person who would say such fucking things. I wonder if his hat is monogrammed. That's what I wonder. So what I'd like to know is if anybody out there listening has purchased a house or has lived in a space where the people have concealed the fact that they're disgusting, fucking terrible, rotten people. That they're just fucking miserable. And, I accidentally clicked the ban button. I'm sorry. Sorry, Dingus One. I wanted to highlight what you were saying, the vile things you're saying about the people that are fucking cleaning up your dumb fucking country. I wanted to highlight that, but I accidentally clicked ban. You fucking piece of shit. Have fun fashioning a fucking bomb out of a can that you found on the side of the road. Road. Yeah, that's a road. I mean fucking trail that's been pounded into a fucking path that you can frequently walk on. Anyway, if you've ever purchased a house, rented a space, and people have hidden their fucking filth, the fact that they're disgusting, I need you to send me an email, contact me, or call the show while we're doing the broadcast. I know a lot more people download it than listen live, so if you've downloaded it and you are hearing this, just send an email to me, djnewstyle@gmail.com. I really want to hear from a lot of people that can sympathize. The fact that you go into buying a house, you look and say, wow, this has such potential. But you know what? It's almost move-in ready. And then you get your fucking hands dirty and you realize you're steeped in someone else's fucking filth, shit, lies, and goddamn lack of taste. Just fucking home jobs. You can tell nothing that was done to this house was done with a goddamn contractor. It was always some fucking, just probably some cousin that maybe had a fucking miter box and a saw, maybe a box saw or some shit, and a screwdriver. Like, everything is just done fucking poorly. So I'm redoing all their improvements and then doing my own. And in the meantime, I'm scooping out shit after fucking shit. I did get a good deal on the house. We did get a decent deal on the house. But it's just things like this. The little gap in the toe kick allowing all dirt and fucking dog toys to get in there. There's a thing in houses that are upscale, modern. It's a central vacuum. And people install them under cabinets so that they can turn it on and just sweep. And the dirt gets sucked into the vacuum, and it's really nice because you don't have to use a dustpan. I have a feeling that these fucking people left the goddamn gap out so they could pretend that they had a fucking central vacuum and try to impress people that they had over. Oh, don't you need a dustpan for that pile of shit? No, we have a central vacuum. Well, that's interesting. Usually you hit a switch. No, we actually just sweep it here, and it could be, there were dust bunnies, piles of fucking dirt. I can't express to you how fucking upsetting it was. But everything is all hooked up now. after doing some plumbing, rerouting the fucking pipe for the goddamn dishwasher. Everything is lined up. I think. I mean, when I say lined up, everything we've done to it is lined up. Surrounded by shit that isn't level. The countertop, you'd think it's something that you might want to work on when you put it in. We didn't put it in. Fucking not level. The soffits that they put in, not level. Thus, the cabinets, not fucking level. Every surface that they touched is not fucking plumb. I'm going to be dealing... BMF Pants, you have no idea how fucking off you are when you say you're going to be dealing with this shit for about a year after moving in. I'm going to be in this fucking... this hell of correcting mistakes well over a year. I would say the time I make my last fucking mortgage payment, I'll look around and say, well, that I finally have it exactly as I like it. Now I can fucking die because I'm retiring and I have to find a smaller house to live in now because the taxes are going to fuck me over. So anyway, the number to call, 316-768-4472. We're going to take a break here on the DJ New Style Show. And we'll be right back to bring the sunnier side of life, to reflect, to love, and to enjoy things. The DJ New Style Show. Thank you. Be right back.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after something.
When the weather starts to warm up, everyone wants to hit the gym to look good. But there's no need for all that. You can look good by sporting your favorite Hear Us Talk logos and designs all year round. Log on to hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and check out the latest apparel. Men and women can find everything from t-shirts and track jackets to hooded and zippered sweatshirts featuring all of your favorite Hear Us Talk designs. If not hitting the gym has left you too big or too small, we'll have a size to fit you. So check out hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and cover yourself with us.
The DJ New Style Show.
Hello, Peppa Gardens. It's your favorite friend and neighbor, Joe Caramello, and you're listening to the Neighborhood Watch. And you might have noticed we lost a few of our dear friends, the Feigenbaums. They're old, sure, but they're not dead. Although that is debatable, because, and listen, I didn't want to be the one to break this to you, okay? But they did send me a card, and they've sold their house at a reasonable price, and they've settled into, now I gotta get my glasses, I don't need this 100% right here. They've settled into a luxury senior citizen condominium. An old folks home. God love them. I mean, I understand not being able to take care of yourself. I do. Believe me. However, I also understand that dying in your house is the only thing senior citizens have to look forward to. You younger folks, you just don't know. There's no more surprises. Can't you see it? You start off driving cars as new, drinking alcohol, fighting for your country, although a lot of you pussy assholes chose not to. You scratch a lottery ticket. You go and get Social Security, cash out your 401k, retire. You get excited a month, maybe two. Then it hits you like a ton of bricks. Every morning is the same. One day bleeding into the next. It all becomes one long, misty day. And sometimes you wake up fully convinced that all the shit you were dreaming about had actually happened. Dead friends. They died 20 years ago. They'll come over to your house. Play cards, drink whiskey, go into your fridge without asking. You're actually gonna get into arguments with your dead buddies and all the assholes you met in your life that died, that you thought you're never gonna see again. They come back just because you've known them, and when your brain turns to mush, something kicks off and clicks into place and brings them back while you're fucking resting in your goddamn dreams. They're irritating you. And your fucking children, dollar signs in their fucking heads, thinking they're gonna cure their mortgage ails, get out of debt with all the shit you've amassed. They go around your house looking for this and that they could put on fucking eBay. Oh, this toaster's from 1935. I wonder what I could get. That's my fucking toaster.
And then they start talking about a club you can go to during the day to socialize. And it sounds good, but then you get there, it's a nursery school with all these doddering old assholes drooling all over their fucking balls. And you don't have any business being with these assholes. Or the Jamaicans there keeping everybody in line, telling you to drink your fucking tea. Drink your fucking tea. Fuck your tea. And then the next thing you know, you're Martin Feigenbaum, being driven to some rounded-edge prison to finish out your last few fucking days in a hospital room disguised with IKEA furnishings. It's fucking sad. It's not good. And I didn't want to be the one to break that to you, but take heed of the underlying message. With me, you're going to have to buy a shitload of Glad bags and rubber gloves. Because if I have to keep bumping into fucking Cragmire in my goddamn dreams as he's fucking up my beer steins, I'll know I'm nuts right off the goddamn bat. And I'll know what I have to do. And I'll save you the fucking trouble of driving down to make the arrangements to coop me up in some fucking place that smells like urine messed with Byung-A-Lee. Look, you can have my fucking house when there's pieces of my fucking head discoloring the wallpapers. So, I want to wish the Feigenbaums luck in their new home, their luxury fucking home, and offer my condolences to a good man, Marty. You threw some of the best bocce before you ever started forgetting all that shit, not remembering a goddamn thing. You were a good man, even if your son don't understand what being a man is. That's all the time we got for tonight. Thank you for listening, and be good. Because we're always watching.
Hey, this is Mike from Queens, and you're listening to the DJ New Style Show because you're pathetic. If you want to know what real men do, get in your underwear, get on the PlayStation Network, and eat microwavable foods.
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. DJNewStyleShow.com. Download everything that we've ever done. Purchase, download, and listen to the first album, EP, Unsanitary Napkin. Go to albums.DJNewStyleShow.com. It's four tracks. I did it last night for a very small audience. Cut them into tracks. Put them up there, and I've been getting a decent response. Some of you have actually paid for it, $2 a download, and I really appreciate it. You are helping with the bandwidth costs. Speaking of helping with the bandwidth costs, I need to tell you about ICU too. Hey, video conferencing, excellent. ICU 2 is the best way to chat face to face from any place. ICU2.com, that's the website to go to. It's ICU2.com. It lets you connect with thousands of people instantly. Unlike some of the other services, one of them that we currently are forced to use, they don't cripple your user experience. They're not going to say, hey, you're viewing too many fucking videos. You've received and sent far too many private messages. They won't do this to you. You go to ICU2.com, check out as many fucking videos as you like. As you type, a screenshot of your image accompanies your message. So if someone types LOL and they're a fucking stone face, you know they're a cocksucker and an asshole. And you don't need to deal with them anymore. That's the beauty of ICU2. ICU2.com, the 2009 People's Choice Award winner for internet communication. It's free to try. Do it today. There's no fucking reason. There's no excuse why you're not using it right now. Except for the fact that you're listening to this dog shit, the DJ New Style Show. It's fantastic. It's great. It's where I vent my frustration, talk about my life. How fucking exciting. And how terrible is it? How boring is it to listen to somebody's life, especially when you don't really realize what your life is or what you've done with it? You just wake up one day. And here you are. Years have passed. You don't know what the fuck happened to it. I say this because I walked in the kitchen and I noticed that my mom was going through one of her yearbooks. She had her yearbook out, and she was playing a very fun game, which I can't wait to play with more than, you know, one of the answers. Dead, fat, or gay? And basically just going through her classmates. Dead, dead, dead. Oh, gay. So fucking gay. Fat. Very fat now. You should see him. He was handsome. Dead, dead. Aw, dead. Fat. Gay. Everybody knew. And it's a fantastic thing. And watching her do this and look back, I decided I would pull my yearbook out. I would dust it off and look through the pages. And, you know, despite my lack of school spirit, my adverse stance against any aspect of it, the not going to prom, not going to fucking pep rallies, none of that, I did get all four yearbooks. So I have them. I don't look through them very often, but I did this evening because I wanted to see if I could play the dead, fat, gay game. I obviously could play the fat and gay part of it, but not too many of the students in my class have died yet. So I start looking through this, and what you need to really look for, and it's in every yearbook as far back as you can go, the candid shots. That's when you get the true feel for the people and the time. Not the people in a suit. You can look at their hairstyle, their posture, their glasses or eyewear. You can get a feel from that. But when you see them actually in these classes, and some of them are wearing fucking ties and shit, and like my mom's, they're wearing like vests, and they're dressed very nicely. And then I look at mine, and it's nothing but JNCOs and fucking Stussy hats and just fucking terrible clothing. Absolutely horrible. It's not unheard of stuff. It's nothing like that isn't still around, but it's very horrendous. Like, some of the people probably still wear the same shit. It's not good, but they're doing it. And from these pictures, you get a sense of how things used to be. Like, you can almost look at it and envision that time and how fucking terrible it was. Like, you wonder, did this person, ever regret just wearing fucking, like, a tablecloth? Like cutting the side of their fucking jeans open and making their own fucking bell bottoms? Did this person ever regret dressing like a fucking derelict hippie in their fucking earth science class? And granted, everybody says, you know, we never had girls that dressed like that when I was in school. Everybody says that. But it's all relative, really. The sluttiness at a given time is apparently we were given a shout out on the Fandic show. I'd have to check that out. The tagline, Germ Freak quits the DJ New Style show / the What Show implodes. This should be a rare listen. This is a rare plug of Fandic show, and it's not going to be ever happening again. But there's a sliding scale of sluttiness. The reason everybody gets to say they never had girls like that when I was in school is because they get progressively sluttier. Sure, there's peaks and valleys. Like, they go back and like, well, listen, we're going with the higher-waisted jean. And they're like, oh, well, what's that? But it's still just slutty enough. And that's why old hot, like, chicks that were hot in the 90s, like 92, 89, you see pictures of them? Sure, facially, whatever. But what they've chosen to adorn themselves with doesn't appeal to someone who is familiar with the new hot. Porn is the best indicator of this. The 80s porn. You go on TubeBait or Pornhub, and you see like that fucking that blonde chick with the fucking perm and a headband, and that off the shoulder fucking ripped open sweatshirt. Like she's from the Let's Get Physical video, just getting railed by somebody with fucking steroid cancer and just absolutely terrible. I will choose the new modern pornography over that any given time. I didn't come up into the game, I guess. I wasn't exposed to that first. People like Frank, and let's say a prayer. Let's just, you know, sign of the cross. Frank. People like him in his age bracket, that's what they had, so they'll go back to it because it's kind of warm and fuzzy. It's like something that brings them back to another time, like the yearbook pictures. They'll do that. People that have never seen it, that are looking for new porn to basically release their fucking demons to just make the world right again before going to sleep and going to work and doing what all the other shit that they don't want to do so they can do things they want to do for 15 fucking minutes in their day. Those people see it and don't care for it. It's not as good. Sure, we had the fucking girls that were in like the almost not pants. And by the way, notpants.tumblr.com, if you don't know what that means. But just go to a fucking mall and stand outside of Forever 21. And you'll know exactly what the fuck it is. We had the predecessor of the not pants. I graduated high school in 1998. They were these like tight, almost fucking spandex, but like thick as a fucking wetsuit pants. And it would blow your mind because you never saw it until then. It was fantastic. They were actually pants, but you could see the outline of an ass in them. And it was exciting. But now you look around and you see like a spandex mold of a vagina. Like you can make out the clitoris on some of these fucking girls. And they wear them all the time. And some of them are wearing, I'm not wearing them trashy though. They have that little fucking dress over it. And it's okay that they're wearing that. Some of them just wear it as fucking pants. They don't give a shit. And when they're in their candid pictures of their yearbooks and they're showing their kids their fucking yearbooks, are they going to, you know, think that their kid might come to the conclusion that their mother was a fucking not pants wearing whore? Is that what's going to happen? Yes, they're going to regret it. They're going to regret the fact that their whole fucking gotch is visible to the fucking world. But you know what? I don't regret it one fucking bit looking at it. I'll look. I'm alive. I'm absolutely living, and I'm fine. And where I am, having graduated in 1998, I'm in a position where I can feel bad for people that were in high school before me. Because we had these new things that the girls decided to do, which were sluttier than the previous things that they decided to do. Like the late 80s, early 90s, fucking sweatshirt dresses or whatever the fuck terrible garment that they thought was hot. just the fucking Alf dress or some shit. Just disgusting. The puffed up hair, the big scrunchy shit. None of that shit is attractive. Probably was then. A fucking sundress and Converse. I don't know. It's amazing to me that the sluttiness is very cyclical. And I think we've peaked with the not pants. I don't know where else you can go. Paint? Is paint going to be like fabric paint? How else can you fucking top it? But again, someone said that about the sweatshirt dress. Someone's like, it gets no better than this. Poofy sleeves and a barely hip-hugging thick material burlap fucking jumper. This is where it is, folks. And as I was looking through my mom's yearbook and she pointed something out and it, just I'm like, oh, what are those school uniforms? No. Her skirt is above her knee. And it was like a centimeter above her knee. And apparently, that was like a huge infraction. Like a reputation-damaging thing to do back in her high school day. To reveal a knee was like the sluttiest thing you could do. Granted, they were doing all the slutty things. But a revealed knee was like, oh my, look at this fucking whore showing her knee off in social studies. Now, like, they have fucking bracelets that people just rip off their arms and then they bang them out in a fucking bathroom. Like, there's literally anal sex happening in high schools. It's just fucking, it's madness. And it's never going to stop. Never. I mean, you look at any pictures on Facebook, you see your friends of friends, and, you know, a friend of mine's younger sister had a prom picture up. And the dress she's wearing, remembering what my mom had said about how fucking terrible it was to reveal a knee, the end of her dress is like a foot above her fucking knee. And, like, the comments are, oh, you look so nice. Really classy dress and shit. Like, this is the norm now. Believe me, I'm completely fine with it. I'm more than fucking fine with it. But I'm just, I don't know. I'm observing and I'm wondering, where the fuck does this end? When is underwear going to be a dress? When is that going to happen? When is someone going to wear underwear to the fucking prom and then receive comments of, oh, how classy. Those are classy underwears that you've chosen to wear to your fucking prom. I don't know. I mean, and obviously the people that were revealing the knee, the girls in the 60s were definitely doing the same things that the girls are doing now. But, like, it never came out then. Like, you would have heard about it, kind of. There wasn't Facebook and shit, and like the most social networking they got was like a list that got passed around a fucking classroom. It was scrawled on some like paper that didn't have lines on it because they didn't invent lines. The fucking paper they had didn't have lines. They predated lined fucking paper. That's the best they could do. But they did the same fucking things. You just didn't hear about it. You hear about it at, like, the reunions 40 years later. When, like, no one cares. The person that the other half of the act is dead, fat, or gay. Now, like, the news will report on every fucking gym class handjob behind the wrestling mats. Or in the back of the stage in the fucking auditorium, in the wings. If the people in the 50s and 60s like had any idea, like even thought ahead and realized how progressively slutty girls are getting, we would have time travel by now. They got us to the fucking moon. They gave us a network of satellites. They did all this shit. They were the last generation of people to make things happen on their fucking own. And if they had only realized how truly slutty girls would be in the future, they would be time traveling at that point. It would have been solved in a few years. They would have unlocked all the mysteries of physics, and they would have made it happen. And the greatest thing revealed to a 1950s engineer, they don't have to rape the women in the future to get them to perform something they saw in a fucking reel-to-reel stag film. Oh, the guy with the Zorro mask and the black socks. He bent her over and stuck it to her in the ass. That's something I'd like to try, but the wife wouldn't be into that. Better go rape a high school girl. Don't have to do it, 50s engineer. Time travel. And you can have your pick of the goddamn litter. I imagine a time traveler comes back now, walks up to any girl in not pants, fucking ejaculates on himself because he's never seen this outside of a bedroom where he was about to get sex, and says, look, I'm from the past. This is my time machine. And then he says, what are these bracelets? And she says, tear one off. And it's the black one. And now he's in the back of his time machine getting everything that he had seen the Zorro masked man do. For free. Not even purchasing anything or promising marriage and happiness. 50s, people would have gotten it fucking done. The Russians would have taken a back seat. They wouldn't have given a shit about the Red Scare. They would be traversing through fucking time to figure out why these women are just giving shit away and to partake. And imagine if they knew what dancing had become. As they go to with their best gal, who's wearing a fucking poodle skirt, and hopping around, they're barely touching each other. They're maybe fucking spinning and shit. And they time travel. They ask around. They look like hipsters because they're wearing shit from the 50s. They either look like hipsters or people that are really into Weezer, which sometimes are one and the same. And they're taken to some dank fucking frat basement where some CD DJ had just downloaded some shit from a torrent and is just hitting play on some device. And he's seeing dancing has become just basically rubbing your dick on an ass. Just clutching the hips like a fucking animal and just rubbing your fucking dick right into it. And I'm very happy to know that Jeff tuned out of the show to listen to what Fandick said about him the minute I announced that he had said something about him. So much for the nobility. No, I'm fucking with Jeff. I can't wait. Honestly, I can't wait to hear what he has coming on. And Ustreamer 22652, you're right. This is the worst sex chat line ever. It really is. It really is. But imagine where we would be if they knew. If they even guessed time travel. Could you imagine if we had time travel now, we could figure out how slutty they were 1,000 years from now? It's progressively more slutty. I can't even fucking fathom it. The shit that goes on. The kiss on the cheek? That shit didn't happen in the 50s. It was all over in the 90s. Now, a fucking greeting is a blowjob. They're sucking dicks to say hello. In the future, they impregnate people when they're introduced. I don't know. To me, it's fucking madness. And common courtesy and all that will go out the window. And it'll become just fucking sex. That's all it'll be. And there's, you know what? I'm happy about that. Not just because it's all sex and all that, but I'm happy because common courtesies will be just fucking disbanded, discarded, and thrown away. Because I'm not a big fan of some of the things that people feel compelled to do. I'll partake. I'll say thank you. I'll say have a nice day and stuff like that. But there's some that I could do without. Shaking a hand, I have no issue with. None. But if you have an issue with your hand, if you have a problem going on with your fucking palm, and it is not in a state of being ready to be shaked, don't fucking do it. I don't mind if you refuse a handshake. If I extend my arm and you say, hey, listen, I'll understand. I'll say, okay, I'm not going to take it personally. You have these fucking sausage hands, or the worst, you give a weak handshake. The minute you discover you give a weak handshake, you should just fucking fold it up. Either learn how to squeeze a hand, or just say, listen, I don't shake hands. I don't fucking shake hands. You throw the dead fish into somebody's fucking hands. They're squeezing your wrist, your fucking, tarsals? I don't know the fucking names of, why am I reaching for the names of bones? They're squeezing your fucking hand apart. The worst to me, the wet hand. The clammy fucking palm. If I'm going for a handshake and you know you got something clammy, just say, listen, I'm clammy. Listen, my fucking palms are a little moist. But no, they'll reach out and they'll offer their excuse. I just washed my hands. Well, thanks for putting your fucking hand wash juices all over mine. And then you'll see them later on. When you walk in the bathroom, they're at the sink. Not washing their hands, just making the sink noise. Oh, so what was the wetness? What was the wetness? Okay? I'm not a germaphobe. I don't really care about people's germs. I just don't like feeling fucking filth. I don't like feeling filth on my fucking hands. The sticky hands. Someone who just decided to make an order of toast for themselves, a bagel with butter or fucking jelly or just something that gets greasy and sticky, and they lick their hands and fucking offer it to you. Just fucking And someone actually asked me what it's like to shake a clammy hand. I envy this person. I believe it's Alex from Brooklyn, who's been a dedicated listener, and it's definitely not Alex Webbs, who is a cunt. It's a different Alex from Brooklyn. And he asked me what it's like to shake a clammy hand. I can't imagine being in such a great world that you've avoided this terrible experience, but the best simulation I can offer is to take a chicken breast and just fucking a defrosted chicken breast and just squeeze it with your fucking hand. A weak, wet handshake, it's like gripping onto a goddamn chicken breast. So fucking just devoid of manners, and it completely invalidates the need for the handshake. At work I encountered the chicken breast handshake, and it was the Optimum guy that came back. At work, we've been having issues with Optimum, as we have on the show from time to time, but at work it was a year of constant issues. The same person.
Let me check the router. Let me check the router in the ports. You see, the higher frequencies, it's fucking up the boost. The Optimum boost ain't working in the higher frequencies.
Often they would just say shit like port, frequency, boost. Just buzzwords to try and lull you into whatever. I'm like, listen, you've been here fucking 13 times.
Yeah, I know, dude. It's so fucked up. I don't understand. Here's my supervisor's number. You call him and you get nowhere.
Fios was installed that day. Cancel. Get Fios. Everything's been fine. These fucking people come around like hat in hand now. Walk to my office. Hey, Optimum. Just checking to see if there's anything we could do. We can give you special promotions. I saw that you'd been a customer. Like, yeah, we were. And then after a year of constant trouble, we canceled. Trouble? Like he'd never fucking heard of it. He heard we were customers and didn't see the 3-page log of fucking Staten Island, no offense, Best in Show, Staten Island Guido cocksuckers. I really didn't mean to. I added that after I said, I'm sorry, Best in Show. I don't believe you to be Guido cocksuckers, but you are from Staten Island. These people were Staten Island Guido cocksuckers.
The fucking boost, the ports, the fucking router. You need to run a new line, is what it's the building.
He didn't see the 3-page log of them being here over and over and over again, every fucking week to 2 weeks, with no fucking resolution.
Tell me about the problems. What kind of problems did you guys have? Was it in your fireplace?
And I told him, I said, yeah, we had kind of, and he's like, oh, well, they messed with the ports and the frequency. And he did the same fucking thing that they do. The training meeting at Optimum must be,
if you're ever in trouble, just say ports, frequencies, router, new line. Any one of those in a combination.
And then asked to leave your card. The guy actually had the fucking balls to say, can I speak to your supervisor and leave a card with you? Really want your business back, blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, that won't be necessary.
I'll leave a card with you.
Left the card. And at this point, I know he's leaving. So he set the card down. I stood up. I extended my hand. I said, thank you. Without even a second thought, he locked eyes with me. Shook my hand. I guess. Because I grabbed it and it was like shaking a fucking... somebody that had a stroke. This weak handshake that was clammy. I just washed my hands in the bathroom. Now, for those of you who don't know, my office is directly across from the bathroom. I am cursed with hearing everybody open that fucking push door.
Ka-chung!
And walking in and walking out. I know when people are in the bathroom. I don't want to, but I do. The only thing I heard this morning, somebody knocking on my office,
Optimum, just want to get your business back.
And this fucking cocksucker lied to me, gave me a clammy dead hand, and said it was from the bathroom. He even pointed to the bathroom that he didn't go in. I got some kind of fucking Optimum fucking slime on my hand. Yeah. Pat Fumanaki saying, he gave me the stink fist. That's right. He has a special handshake reserved for the people who say problems and somehow make their way past the frequency port router new line barrier that they throw up. If you get past that, the training manual for an optimum technician. Port, frequency, router, new line. If that fails, wipe shit on their hands and leave your business card on the desk. That is just fucking miserable. Absolutely fucking miserable. Don't give me your clammy hand, please. Now I need to take another break here. I'm sorry. I wanted to play something for you. As I said before, I had made an EP, which is an extended play. 4 tracks. It's called Unsanitary Napkin. You can download it or purchase it and help the show out by maybe covering a little bit of the bandwidth costs at albums.djnewstyleshow.com. Albums.djnewstyleshow.com. During the break, we're going to be playing one of the songs. We'll be right back with a completely dry hand. DJ New Style Show.
The DJ New Style Show will be right back.
The DJ New Style Show has a brand new Facebook fan page. Thank you for deleting the old one, Frank, you incompetent asshole. The new one is facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. That's facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. Congratulations, Frank, on being so technically inept that you made us add the word the. facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow.
The DJ New Style Show.
I'm eating lunch. Don't fucking walk into my office. I'm eating lunch. Yeah, I know I am eating ribs. I've got bones piled all over my keyboard. Yeah, what, bitch, what you got to say? I don't get paid by the hour. Salaried is my pay state. I'm going to eat these ribs and wipe my fingers on your wrinkled face. If you try to come back and say you need help while I'm on my motherfucking break, stomping a hole in your ass. I know you have one that's already there. I just want to make it slightly larger so I can buy a brand new pair of New Balance sneakers. Shit, these are already brown, just a little bit browner now. 'Cause I almost lost when I pulled my foot out. I left the laces behind, inside your behind. You will never talk to me, never step foot in my office while I am taking a look at lunch. That's my hunch. My fucking brick. I'm gonna break your face.
DJ New Style Show. DJ New Style Show is back. Bitches.
Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. It's nice to be here with all of you. It's nice to be heard by all of you. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com, download everything that we've ever done, and purchase Unsanitary Napkin, albums.DJNewStyleShow.com. Proceeds pay for hosting of this fine, fine podcast. I also want to say Best in Show Radio, every Thursday night on Heroes Talk, 9 to 11 p.m., they are from Staten Island, but they are not Guido cocksuckers. At least not all of them. And The Awful Hour, Wednesday nights, heroestalk.com. Go to theawfulhour.com, subscribe, and listen to everything that they have to offer as well. Rest in peace, The What Show. Coming soon, Jeff's podcast of goodwill. I don't know. I need to hear it. I really do need to hear it. We got Ken Moorhead in the HeroesTalk.com chat room. Big ups, Compendium Blogware. Ken Moorhead's a man about town, a man of power. He's a power player in the social media game. Just giving a little shout to him. Because his name is Ken, and his last name is Moorhead. And goddamn, he's a good dude. Checking in, showing a little concern for Frank, as people have been doing. I'd like to say that I really do appreciate a lot of you out there putting effort in to make sense of what's gone on. Best in Show last week, they put a segment together where Frank appeared on the show and got to talk a little bit about what's going on, why he left the show, why he's frustrated, why, you know, basically what went down. He got to express it a little bit better than he could have in a blog post. And I don't fault anybody for this. I actually enjoyed the segment. It was good to hear Frank again. And I think Chris, in his execution and his planning, very good, top notch. I think they fit in very well. What I get a little bit frustrated and tired of is being painted as some kind of intolerable tyrant. Just somebody who's constantly full of demands and difficult to deal with and is a drain on everything and just runs people down. And that's it. And you know what? I'm a little bit tired of it. I'm kind of over the whole issue. I didn't ask Frank to leave the show. I didn't ask Frank to not be my friend. I didn't ask Frank to not call me. However, all of those things have taken place. In fact, I tried to reach out to Frank in our usual means of electronic communication, and I discovered Frank removed me from every online place that he could have me as a contact. So I sent him a message on PalTalk. Frank does not accept messages from people not on his list. Okay, so I'm not on his list. I'll go to Facebook. I'll send him a message. Frank is become. It said become a friend, and I clicked on it. I looked at it, and I'm like, wait, I was. Oh, so he removed me from there. He actually went through the effort of defriending me. So I look on Twitter, and when you follow someone and they follow you back, you can direct message them. I saw that wasn't enabled. And I also saw the email from TwunFollow, which lets me know when people unfollow me. Germ Freak has unfollowed you. Following you since whatever. I'm thinking, okay. I never said that I didn't want to be friends with you. All I said was, I didn't want to help you with your computer. And he took this to some new crazy height, defriended me on everything, wrote a very lengthy manifesto about why I'm the worst person ever, told me he quit the show, and then he goes on Best in Show, and what I'm hearing now is, yeah, you know, it's just aggravation, it's stress, it's, you know, it's a lot of arguments, and you know, what we are is an adversarial, and blah, 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 and I'm like, okay, yeah, I mean, I guess, but this whole sad sack routine was kind of brought on yourself. So I couldn't be more done with the entire issue, and I needed to address it because Chris was kind enough to try and at least set it up so that there could be some kind of reconciliation. But for there to be a reconciliation, there has to be, the willing parties have to be ready to do it. And the person that was in on the reconciliation is the one who initiated every end of communication. And then sits there and says, I'm not going to be the first to do it. I'm not going to be the first to do it. Well, I tried. I tried and I couldn't. And when I noticed that I couldn't, and I noticed the lengths he went to prevent communication, why would I reach out to this person and include them in any of my thoughts or anything like that? So, again, I appreciate the efforts of people like Chris and Ken Moorhead who expressed concern that Frank hadn't been on. And I have to say, I'm kind of enjoying what I'm doing. And when Frank quit the show, I didn't want to put it on hold because we had been off for a week. I didn't want to not have a new show because people listen, people download it. And granted, I'm not huge in this podcast thing, but the few people that do download it, I think it's kind of a nice fuck you, eat shit, for real, instead of me just saying it as a sign-off or a sign-on or just for fun, to just not do a show every other week or to say, you know what? Fuck it. No explanation. Not going to do a show. So what I've done is I've decided to press forward and continue doing the show because I enjoy it. It's something I truly care about. And I'm sorry if the arguments and all the other things just completely wore you down. But you have to understand that every argument was born out of some proud display of ignorance that you displayed, whether it was intentional. And when I questioned it, you erupted in laughter because you couldn't, because you obviously knew what you were asking. What is that? Now, when you say Google, what does that mean? How many times can I play that fucking game? Dude, we need more listeners. Okay, Frank, if that's what you really want, then maybe you should help me promote the show. 20 times, 30 times. So the kindness kind of erodes every time it has to happen. And again, I'd love to be friends with Frank. I would. I think he's a great guy. Never considered him not a friend. Apparently, I've been considered not a friend several times. So that's my final word on this. Germ Freak is not a part of the show. And whether or not he will be, we'll have to see. I have no plans of having him on the show currently. Because I haven't spoken to the fucking guy. Do you understand? I haven't even spoken to him. I also have no plans to not do a show. And that takes precedence over me waiting for whether or not Frank has decided that there's no stress and aggravation. So I will do the show. If Frank wants to be a part of it, well, I'll assess that at that time. I remember something typed, "Nah, I'm good, thanks." Then that is how it'll be. That's the final word on it. That's the final word on all that. I can't be bogged down in this anymore. I don't like to take real shit, like real shit between people I like respect, and use it as material in the show, unless they're in on it, unless they're okay with it. The CVS guy, I could give a shit less what he thinks. Gives me a long fucking receipt, licks his lips and hands, counts my items. I don't give a fuck about him. The fruity black guy that works at Taco Bell overnights and gets upset that I order a fruit frutizia with a coupon. Like, who cares? But, you know, this is as real as that's going to get. And that's it. So, I mean, maybe I will get Roman around to be the next co-host. Because I have to tell you, I've been back to the store. I've asked questions of my appliances. And Roman Around came back with another fucking answer for everything I threw at him. It's a shame that I didn't give him the commission. I actually gave it to somebody else. But troubling him with questions and needing answers and using his expertise, free of charge. Thanks, Roman Around. Maybe we'll have him on. Maybe we'll have Roman Around on the show and just see exactly how fucking bored out of our goddamn minds we can be by someone who's decided to make their name tag a fucking pun and dedicate their lives to grease filters. That's your grease filter. That's your grease filter. Yeah, but I have two. Well, the one goes over to here and I don't know, for the exhaust. Oh, thank you. I don't know for the exhaust. Okay, great. You know, come to think of it, Roman Around didn't give me a fucking answer. He really just dismissed me. And I have a feeling it's because I didn't give him commission. I didn't buy through him. So I'll go fuck myself. I go into his store. He directs me over to the things, to where I need to be. And now I have to ingratiate him with money. I have to purchase things through him. Look for him every time I walk in there now, right? And, you know, speaking of common courtesies I could do without, the dead fish, the chicken breast, the shitty handshakes, another one. I don't mind when workers are in a store and they're too lazy to take me over to the place where the things are that are the items I'm looking for. I don't mind. In fact, I respect the fine, lazy, non-knowledgeable people at Home Depot and Lowe's who point and say things like third bay, right side, lower half, end cap. And they fuck it. Two aisles up, two aisles left. I don't mind that. Because they get me in the general direction. The other people who think that they're doing a better job by, oh, let me take you over there. And then they're touching their foreheads. Like, oh, shit, I mean, I saw it. Let me go get Merton. Martin, paint. Yeah, right here. Oh yeah, right here. It's not 25 minutes. Merton would have said, "Hey, second bay, middle aisle, fucking left side," and I'm right there. I mean, I understand that you want to help me. If you work in a store, I understand that. Even if you don't make commission, it's your job to want to help. But you rarely can. You are rarely able to. I can't stand when I end up being walked over to someplace. The whole walk over. Feeling like this is going to get done. This is going to be quick. I'm going to be in and out. I'm like, ah. I got to tell you, it's not... I don't work in this part of the store. Pat from Renaki nailed it. This isn't my department, but I thought I... And even the department guys don't know what the fuck they're talking about either. There's no experts to work at these fucking places. That whole myth of like, oh, he's, you know, this guy's been doing fucking kitchen cabinets for 35 years. Yeah, but now he walks around Home Depot and points things to people, right? They're not contractors. They're just people that needed a fucking job and they walk around. Even the other, any place, Walmart. I do gift bags when I give gifts. I don't fucking wrap shit up. So I get a gift bag. And now I've stopped doing this. I'll just throw the item in the bag so it rattles around as if you've bought one orange and carried it home in a fucking ShopRite paper bag. It just rattles around. The card is maybe taped to the side. But I used to, you know, try and make it look nice with the shredded paper and the stuffing and shit. So I went to Walmart. I was in a pinch. I needed to get all the materials. I found the bag, found the card, couldn't find the shredded paper. I asked somebody who was wearing the convenient, highly visible apron. I'm looking for the filler for gift bags. The shredded paper that goes in the gift bags. You stuff the... Oh, okay, okay, okay. Follow me. Walk all over the fucking store. All over. Okay. And then we take another couple sharp turns. So we're all over the fucking store. Finally, this woman settles on a fucking spot. Leads me to an aisle with nothing on the shelves but a fucking paper shredder. The shredded paper. Now I realize she doesn't fucking speak English. I mean, I understand it's a language gap. But still, if you didn't know, she would have pointed me somewhere. I would have gone there and said, oh, this is the fucking paper shredder. She is obviously not privy to the language that I speak. I'll look for another apron and try again. Rather than be jerked around and taken all over the place. And the worst of all, the worst offenders? Radio Shack. When I first got into this podcasting shit, I didn't know, you know, audio stuff. I picked it up along the way, but I figured get some wires, get this or that. Eventually, I get a mixer. I need some cables, and I can't find them. So I go to Radio Shack, and I try to I'm looking at the parts. I don't know what the fuck is up. So I start talking to her. I'm like, look, what I need is I need a stereo cable, 1/8, and then I need it to go out to 2 mono, a left and a right, but they have to be 1/4. Goes, oh, shit. Ken Morehead in the Heroes Talk chat room says, Radio Shack, the store is a goddamn pantry. They bring you past all of the big items that are exciting into this aisle that looks like a poorly organized old man's garage where they've saved every little nut and bolt. It's all in fucking clear plastic trays hung up on a corkboard. It's like, well, you take one of these, you're going to need the gold tips, and you take the fucking things and the thises and the nats and all this stuff, and I end up having like a $30 fucking purchase to create one wire that costs like $3. Ustreamer 13235 in the HearUsTalk.com chat room. By the way, if you're ever listening live, Tuesday nights, 9 p.m., HearUsTalk.com is where you interact with the fine folks like Ustreamer 13235. Did you also get your mixer at Radio Shack? The mixers that they have at Radio Shack are branded Radio Shack, and they are the biggest piles of shit that you'll ever find. I mean, I don't really do like hardware recommendations too often. Like, I don't think I've ever mentioned any of the shit that I actually use for the podcast on this podcast. But I bought an Alesis mixer, a DBX compressor, and a fucking Samson headphone amp. And I have, what is this? Audio Technica condenser mic. And I've had the same shit for years, and it works perfectly. If I were to use the Radio Shack shit, I would have gone through 17 iterations of just crap. First of all, I would have gotten the wrong shit because I didn't know, so I would have gone with their recommendations. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to get done? What I'm doing is, and you're probably embarrassed, I'm doing a fucking podcast. I'm recording a band. And I need a mixer and some mics. And, okay, all right. Well, we got this mic. And it's got some Russian plug, like 6 prongs. And we need an adapter. And like 17 connections later, you have the noisiest, hissiest piece of shit that needs to like be plugged into the wall to have any fucking power. It's just fucking awful. Don't tell me where to go. Don't walk me around. Just point. People really complain about that. They don't want to be pointed at. And I guess I've worked with people that have had high school jobs at Home Depot. There's a big policy against pointing. I think they should embrace it because the caliber of people that they hire, they're not good enough to lead people to anything or to actually help. There's one guy who looks like Freddy Krueger who just licks himself, who literally just fucking sticks his gut out and just doesn't lick his lips. He licks like the skin where his nose attaches to his fucking face. He has some kind of a freak tongue. And anytime you approach the goddamn paint counter, just fucking serpent tongue licking his face. I can't fucking look. I've decided I can't interact with people. I just fucking can't. I mean, even Facebook for me is fucked up. Like, I tried, you know, I got into the thing, obviously, looking at the yearbook. Then you start trying to compare and contrast. Because I don't really know, because I don't see too many people from high school. So I can't play the dead fat gay game. So I go on Facebook and I look at friends of friends and stuff. And, you know, people have pictures and shit. So I look at pictures. All of a sudden you hit the next. And it's like a fucking naked kid or something. People think it's, you know, cute to post their nude kid pictures. Like their child in a bathtub. Don't fucking post pictures of your fucking naked kids. I mean, I understand everybody's parents have done this. You've taken a picture of your child in a bathtub or whatever. But no one's ever put them in a fucking frame or brought them out when people were over your house. Hey, here's a cup of coffee and pictures of my nude kids. Please, offer me your comments about what you think of this. That's essentially what you're doing. I mean, I understand you want to share pictures with your friends. No one wants to see your fucking, where your kids' titties are going to be. No one wants that. It's fucking gross. And I'm stretching and contorting myself like a fucking asshole. Someone actually looked at me and said, "Are you okay?" Today at work, I wrenched my back working on the in the kitchen, you know, moving the range. I wrenched it really terribly. And I'm just at the point where it's going to crack again. Like, if you move, you want that pop. You want it to go, and then you feel temporary relief. And then eventually it goes back to being fucked up. But then that lasts longer and longer, and your back is okay again. I'm getting there. But at work, I'm just fucking, I'm contorting myself. I'm using the chair as leverage. I used to laugh at the older guy that I used to work with who would just fucking lay down at work, put his fucking feet up on a desk chair. So I'm aligning my back. Granted, I would never be caught dead fucking doing that at work. I mean, I would do it if no one was there. I would try to stretch my fucking back out. But I don't know. I'm just getting frustrated. And the problem is, I used a heating pad on my fucking back. Do you understand? Do you understand what that means? I'm stretching out at fucking work. I'm trying to make myself fucking feel better. I have a goddamn heating pad on my fucking back. I'm almost 30 years old. My life is passing me by. I'm realizing this. It never hit me. Never hit me. But it's just more and more reminders of I am becoming irrelevant. I look at the CDs in my car, my CD changer. Sublime, 1996, 1994. The intro of this show, Sublime. I'm fearing slime from a handshake. I think it's good that Frank isn't on the show anymore, because I'm becoming Frank. I'm becoming that fucking crazy maniac. I'm gonna be fucking 40 one day, still listening to Sublime, saying it's some rockin' tunes, singing the praises of OMC, how bizarre, which got into my head because I saw Steve the LARPer's post. He just got revisited that fucking guy's album, found out he's dead. And it actually, some of the shit that wasn't played on the radio was actually pretty good. But the point of it is, I need to not become old. I need to just put this shit by the wayside. I need to expose myself to as much shit as I can. I need to not get locked into a fucking rut and just have my eyes fixed on what everybody thinks the prize should be. The day you can stop working. The day that it all shuts down. The day the machine finally gets to rest and you sit and you look and said, what the fuck happened from 23 to 65? What did I do? I sold my fucking soul. My fucking life. The only thing I have just to make money and purchase things. And now I'm 65, irrelevant. I still listen to fucking Verve Pipe, every other thing that came out in 19 fucking 97. And BMF Pants is saying that, well, I have a podcast, right? So I mean, that's pretty modern. Dude, not even. I've been doing this fucking thing since 2004. In this form, it's ancient. It's as old as the fucking hill. This is going to be like ham radio. This is going to be ham fucking radio. People like DJ Rob sitting in a fucking garage with some elaborate setup. Or Tony from the Awful Hours dad. Just watching out for a Russian attack. I don't know. I need to find something. I need to do something. I need to create new things. And I'm going to. Because I'm going to fight against irrelevance as long as I possibly can. Because I've seen it. I've done a hundred something shows with it. And it's fucking It's not good. Great, you can be a great person, but when you become irrelevant, it's a little bit like you've just resigned the fact that living isn't for you. So I do things like watch True Blood, which was fucking fantastic, but it still didn't live up to the hate fuck scene from 2 weeks ago. I say 2 weeks because they decided to do the July 4th thing, take a week off. I watch UFC. I expose myself to people getting their fucking faces pounded in. Their fucking faces bashed in by Chris Lieben. I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'm caught in a moment of just feeling fucking old. And I'll get past it. It's going to happen more and more. And I think when the fluctuation of not feeling that way and then feeling archaic, when they start to become closer and closer, that's when you're officially old. People say age is just a number. It's how you feel. Well, I think it's how you think and how you live. And I need to not live old. I need to move on. I need to discover new music. I need to see new things. That's it. Oh, and to Mayonnaise, who's saying you're going to start getting paranoid about losing your hair. I couldn't give a shit if I lose my hair. Look at my fucking sparse beard. Is it apparent to you that I don't care about my appearance? I walk around with the beard of a fucking wounded vet who hasn't been found. I walk the streets in fucking shredded New Balance sneakers just because I can't find the right color brown shoe. I don't care about my appearance. If I lost all my hair, whatever. That's going to be it. But the feeling you get of just being written off and irrelevant, it's interesting. It's interesting. It's kind of sad. And the fact that now the only things I really notice are interactions with people. The clammy hand. The fucking pointing me in directions. The gas station guy. Reading my name off a credit card. By the way, I went there again today, and the fucking guy took my credit card and had a lingering look at it. Like this. You hand him a card. Usually they just take it, fucking slash it, whatever. I got a fucking terrible job. Slash, I'm going to sit on this fucking thing. Here's your fucking card back. This guy took it. It was at waist level. He brought it up to his other hand and raised it directly in front of his face and started reading and put it down towards his waist and started slashing again. I might have some fucking unexplained purchases this month. I really do need to comb my statement a little bit closer and never go back to that fucking place again. Never again. Shit. Pat from Munaki is getting AARP mailings. Well, at least he gets sweet discounts. Fantastic. BMF Pants in the Heroes Talk Room. The only alternative to being the old guy is being the old guy around young people. And I don't know that that's the only option. I don't think that's the only way out. You don't have to be around young people to have a young sense of mind. I mean, I listened to Hate Us Talk, and the primary criticism with the show, and by the way, Hate Us Talk is fucking fantastic. If you listen to this fucking shit, and you don't listen to them, you are probably missing out on some fucking incredible stuff. And you're probably an asshole. And you should probably go to hateustalk.tumblr.com. And download their stuff and listen. They started out as a review show of all the stuff on Heroes Talk, but now that's just a small segment. What they had to say about the shows that I had done after Frank left is that they liked him, but I'm a little bit too much of a crotchety old man. And I don't need to surround myself with young people to not be that guy, because I would be even more prone to be that person. You need to change your whole fucking outlook to feel and be young. If you're just surrounded with displays of youth being wasted, which it always is, the case of someone young under, you know, 25, whatever, doing anything of value is very rare. Very fucking rare. And that's the beauty of being that young. But when you're old, you realize, oh, the shit I could have done. And seeing that and putting yourself around it, that makes you old. One person who'll never be old is Steve the LARPer, who says he has a fucking chokehold on youth. And he does. We've discussed the career path he's chosen, the lifestyle he lives. Steve the LARPer, though, does risk being what BMF Pants warned against, being the old guy around the youths. You streamer 81521 says, do something now, because if you start this cycle 30 years from now, you'll be saying the same thing, thinking, what the fuck was I doing? And cyclically, you'll be an old man. And you're absolutely right. That's what I'm directing myself away from. That's what I need to do. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed a call. I actually wish whoever that was would call back. My bad. You know what? Fuck you. I'm going to call you. How about that? I've got Skype credits. I don't know who you are, but you better pick up. Here we go.
Hello?
316-768-4472. That's the number you just called. Welcome to the DJ New Style Show.
Hello, this is Clayton from Texas. How are you, sir?
Very nice to hear you, Clayton from Texas. Why did you call? And I'm sorry I missed it.
Well, no, man. It's you're talking about getting older, and I have the unenviable task of turning 34 this year. And I know that I expressed to you not too long ago something that our generation will be able to really grasp is when you go to sign up for online play or something, they ask you to put in your birth date to verify that you're of age. And you go to put in your year, and you got to hit that scroll bar a couple more times than you used to. You're like, man, it used to be like, yeah, right there. Now it's like, you know, like, whoa.
Yep.
Get a little far down the road there, bro.
Yeah, every time you sign up, it was a couple taps. You would count out your age with the taps, and now it's getting just longer and fucking longer.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. Yeah, you're like, man, I'll tell them I'm a little older so they can let me watch this shit. Now it's like, well, you know, don't get carded anymore, and, you know, oh, yeah. We were joking about it the other day about no longer we are... Not interested isn't the right word, but we're now looking at the mothers of kids now. Before it was more like, you know, hey, we're, you know, we're gonna look for some chicks. Now it's like looking, hey, where's your mom?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's a little scary.
I always thought, like, oh, you know, dude, 16 to 18, that's where chicks are. You know, that's where it is. And then you start looking around, and you're like, holy shit. Like, okay, I could be the shocking guy. I'd be like, dude, 14. You know, but it's like, it's amazing that, like, you start to see, like, holy, this fucking bitch is way too young. She's way too young for me to even consider looking at. And I can only imagine, like, because when you, for any women that might be listening, which is probably two of you, when a guy looks at a girl, yes, we think of the things we would do. But when we run out of that, occasionally we think about the dumb shit she would have to fucking say to us. Like, what the fuck could she possibly say? Well, you know, I was watching a show, and then she was all like, and I was all like, and just the miserable fucking shit. I see people that date the younger girls. I'm like, oh, he stayed single. He's just, you know, hitting all the young ass or whatever. And I'm thinking, when he's not fucking, what is he doing?
Yeah, it's so bad that, you know, you're at a point now, Ken, where if you go back, the girls that are age 20 are listening to music and into things that, like, I don't get.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I've joked about it. Yeah, turn that shit off.
Turn like, that shit off. The dinosaur must rest.
It fucking nails it. I'm sorry. It just does.
Yep.
Absolutely. It's I'll tell you what, though, Ken. Now that you're, I don't know, I forgot if you've already had your birthday, you're 30.
Not yet.
I'll tell you what, though. I've had more fun in my 30s than I ever did in my 20s because you know more who you are. You got a little money in the bank, hopefully, and you can kind of take the ebbs and flows. So you can enjoy fun more because you have something to balance it off with. So,
absolutely,
it's something to kind of look forward to.
I mean, the thing is, I don't fear my 30s, and I don't really fear being 30. It's just kind of a reminder that, hey, you know, you start doing the numbers and you double up your age, and you know, you're officially old, and then. You know, you've lived potentially almost half of what you're going to live if you have my family's track record. But 30s to me, yeah, I'm going to enjoy the shit out of it. I've got a little money lying around. I've got my wits about me. I'm not blinded by the desire to just get new snatch at all fucking times.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's absolutely. It. I know where I'm at. I know what I have, and now it's as clear as fucking day. I just need to enjoy myself. So
yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Or maybe maybe if that fails, I could just quit my job and work for Steve the LARPer, selling old PlayStation 1 games to fat kids with orange fingertips.
Well, you know that's always a possibility.
It is
last-ditch effort. You can say that for your 40s. Then it'll be real creepy.
That's true. When you're on common ground with children and you're in your 40s, that's bad. Now, Clayton, I want to ask you: have you ever heard of a show called Hate Us Talk?
I am familiar. Yes, sir.
Well,
I'm a downloader.
Well, then you know that sometimes they broadcast live on Monday nights, but you do download from hateustalk.tumblr.com.
Yeah, I actually am a subscriber to the iTunes account.
Oh.
And updates for me weekly. It's fantastic.
Good.
That modern technology, those young kids.
It sure is. It sure is amazing. Well, Clayton, thank you for calling the show. I really appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So, see, you don't have to be old when you get old. Isn't that just a nice Hallmark greeting fucking phrase to comfort yourself with and just slather all over your fucking wrinkling face? That's what I like to do, ladies and gentlemen. So please feel free, download all of the shows that Heroes Talk has to offer. Once again, albums.djnewstyleshow.com. Download and purchase Unsanitary Napkin. I'm going to leave you with a song that is the fourth song on Unsanitary Napkin, and my favorite, by the way, all completely improvised and recorded. It's called Driving Home. Albums.djnewstyleshow.com. Driving Home, Unsanitary Napkin. Thank you very much for listening.
4. Driving home, you can suck the cock that I have in my pants. Driving home, you can suck the cock that I have in my pants. No need to say, oh no, you should suck the cock that I have in my pants. Your parents will never know, so you can suck the cock that I have in my pants. If you really love me, girl, you would explore your curious nature. Just ignore your mind and brain. Girl, I'd be unable to hate ya. It's a long, 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 long ride to Applebee's. So please, 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 rest your knees on the passenger seat when we're driving home. You can suck the cock that I have in my pants. Driving home, oh girl, you can suck the cock I have in my pants. No need to say, oh no, you should suck the cock that I have in my pants. Your parents will never know, so go ahead, girl, suck the cock that I have in my pants. Ooh,
zipper. You forgot the button. You forgot the button. Zipper. Yeah. Okay. Yes. 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 That's right. No, you watch the road. I'm driving home. You can suck the cock that I have in my pants. You can watch the road while you suck the cock that I have in my pants. I'm not gonna smoke no plants, but you can suck the cock that I have in my pants. And no, 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 your parents never know. No, 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 you can suck the cock I have, cock that I have in my pants. One fishbowl margarita for you, 7 shots of whiskey for me. You probably ate something in a pita, but I assure you I'm free from HPV. It's a long, 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 a crooked, a winding ride from Applebee's. So please, 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 let's skip the movies and just start just driving home. You can suck the cock that I have in my pants. Oh, oh, driving home, oh, home. You can suck the cock I have in my pants. No need to say no, no. You can suck the cock I have in my pants. I don't care how many years old. You can suck the cock I have in my pants.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! Hasha! Hasha! Give it to me, baby! Give it to me!
Go suck banana, fuck you!